At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
To teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Illini guy Mike Kegley, and I'm going to be joined tonight by Brad Sturdy, fellow Illini guy, and Kedrick Prince, the director of recruiting. They're going to give you a first look at the 2023-2024 Fighting Illini basketball team after they watched practice yesterday. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Are you looking to grow your business? Do that with the Illini Guys Radio Network by broadcasting on the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. We have over 20 stations, including stations in Chicago, St. Louis, Champaign, Decatur, Springfield, Bloomington, the Quad Cities, Rockford, Peoria, Marion, Quincy, and Jacksonville, amongst others. You can reach over 11 million people in the state of Illinois by partnering with us. Send me an email, mike@IlliniGuys.com, and let's find a way that we can build your business together. Hey, thanks for holding through the break. This is Mike Kegley. I'm here with Brad Sturdy and Kedrick Prince, and they had the privilege of going to practice yesterday, and we wanted to come to you with a little bit of their observations on what happened at practice, what they saw, and their opinions of it. And we may get, if we twist their arm a little bit, maybe we can even hear some super double secret probation news on what's going on with basketball recruiting. But you have to say your prayers and take your vitamins to make that really happen. So, Brad,
all you hoaxers, take your vitamins.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Brad, you know, you guys had an opportunity to really get out there and see the better part of a practice. What jumped out at you first, you know, as you were there thinking about what you were seeing and what you were going to convey to the subscribers and listeners?
Yeah, I think the first thing that jumped out to me is you can see where the strengths are for this team. And I think you can see how they're going to use players. I think there's a lot of people that came away from somewhat negative on certain things and so forth. But what came away to me was, you know, even with Marcus Tomas not playing, I think the depth of talent and guys that can do things is extraordinary on this team. Like, I mean, I was kind of shocked at how good some of the guys that we haven't spent enough time talking about looked. And I realized that they have 12 scholarship players, and you look at probably the 12th guy is a Nico Moretti type guy. And I like him. He looked good. He did some good things. And then if your 11th man is a top 50 freshman like Amani Hansberry, which is conceivably the guy, then that's a really good roster. And I really like the depth on this roster. So I think that's what stood out to me. And a lot of people were like, and here's my main takeaway. I'm going to take this one time. People were down on the way Coleman Hawkins looked in this practice. I thought Coleman looked just like he looks. He is Coleman. He is what he is. Sometimes we don't realize all the intangible things he does and all the things he does. And they don't always show up in a box score. But here's the deal. If Coleman has a bad day, last year you had to ride Coleman when he had a bad day. You didn't have a choice because you look at that plus minus that he had and how valuable he was. Now you have Quincy Guerrier, who arguably was the, outside of Terrence Shannon, he may have been the best player on the floor the other day. And he's your guy that you're relying on almost like as a backup guy. And I don't think that's the way it's going to shake out. But what I'm saying is, you don't have, if a guy's having a bad day, you have options now. And you didn't have that a year ago. You were stuck on a freshman or whatever. Now you, okay, this guy's 23 years old. He's ready to go. So that was the thing that stood out for me, how old they are, how they carry themselves. And just how much depth they have and talent.
Ed, you were right there. You had the same or similar vantage point. Not that you guys were like, you know, standing shoulder upon shoulder or anything like that, but.
But we were.
What were your thoughts?
We really were. We were right next to each other.
See, but so the anyway. Illini guys can, most of the Illini guys can be seen together in public.
Well, here was my initial thought. I went into it with a clean slate. I didn't want to judge anybody, even the players that played last year. I felt that everybody deserves a fair, clean slate with me. And the first thing I didn't notice, and I don't know, I don't want to say I feel bad for Coach Underwood, but depth is going to be an issue. They have a lot of depth. And, you know, one guy I was kind of concerned about, and I'm kind of jumping the gun a little bit, was Amani Hosberry, but he looked good yesterday. I wrote about that on the line, guys. I mean, like, you know, he may be in a numbers game, but he really showcased some things. The depth is great because everybody's going to hit a wall at some point. And, you know, I'm not being a homer just because it's 2023. I do think the makeup of this team is better than last year. And I think the one glaring difference for me, you know, Terrence Shannon is the man. You can tell he has the potential to be a first team all American. He really does, definitely all Big Ten. But Quincy Guerrero that may pay dividends. He's not going to be a heater like a Matthew Meyer, where you saw Matthew Meyer go to Madison Square Garden and like Tech is up for like 12 to 14 straight points. But you're going to see a consistent guy that I was just thoroughly, thoroughly impressed with, because I don't know the last time they had a guy like that. You know, he's not as explosive as Terrence Shannon, but whatever Quincy does, he does really well. And, you know, I'm going to go to Coleman Hawkins. A lot of people really, I don't want to say that you don't understand the game of basketball. Coleman Hawkins is what he is. He's never going to be a 25-point scorer. That's just not who he is. I mean, his dad talked to me about that. He wasn't that way in high school. He would much rather facilitate and be a 10-point, 10-rebound, and 7 or 8 assist guy and 3 or 4 blocks. I think because Coleman didn't knock down a bunch of 3-pointers, because that's what people were expecting to see, is why they felt he didn't look as good. I thought Coleman did everything he's always done. He got the ball. He put he dribbled to the post. He reversed it. He direct traffic. He blocked shots. That's what he does. And, Mike, we've talked about this before. Without Coleman Hawkins, and Brad, you mentioned it, you don't win that many games last year without him. So I don't know what people are expecting. There's enough scores on that team. And, Mike, I'm sure you're going to ask us at some point, and one of those scores to me is the freshman point guard, Drayvon Gill-Lawhorn. There's enough scorers on this team because, you know, Marcus Domas didn't play. He's a scorer. Luke Goody didn't even look to shoot yesterday, but I think they were sandbagging. They're not going to show us the full arsenal.
Well, and I don't blame them, although I think it also would be fun to see, you know, just how good they are in comparison. Maybe you can speak to this, Brad, but how good are they in comparison to where they were this time last year, when they didn't have the luxury of having the whole team here and they were getting people in, you know, towards the end of the summer, and some of them weren't healthy. Some of them weren't maybe in as good a shape as they could have been. How would you compare the two teams based on just, you know, if you were going to snap a line on August 2nd, what would that look like?
Well, I mean, they're not comparable. This team's so far ahead of where last year's team was. Even your best player last year, Terrence Shannon, was new at this point last year. And then you had a bunch of freshmen. So you had Sky Clark, Jay Nipps, Sincere Harris, et cetera. So you had all these freshmen. You had Dane Danger, who'd never played college basketball. You had, you know, you start going down the line, you had all these guys, so many unknowns, so many things we didn't know about. And you had a, you know, you had a couple, you hired gun like Matt Meyer, but coming, but he wasn't there yet. So now they're all here. This whole squad's here. And I think they're so far ahead and they've already implemented things and you can see it. I mean, I can just see it. And I know that, you know, not everybody is like, you know, watches basketball to, you know, they watch, see if the ball goes in the basket and you know, they're kind of results oriented. No, but you know, guys who watch basketball are process oriented and guys that really study basketball. So they're looking at the way this team is developing and gelling. And they look at how they're going to use these guys. Like I can see it. I can see what Brad Underwood's thinking with this, the way he's using these actions, lead guards, whatever. Everybody's like upset because, you know, it didn't have a point guard, which, and they wanted a point guard. Don't get me wrong. They would have liked to have another guy, but they really wanted another guy who could shoot for that point guard position more than just a guy to facilitate. But I think the thing they miss is how different this team's going to look and the way they're going to use these guys isn't going to be just straight up the way you'd use a traditional point guard or traditional wing or traditional three man or whatever it is. So it's going to be different. You can see it and you can see the evolution. This team it's different. It's not the same old team, you know, with point 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 as the position numbers. It's different. And I really like the way they're going to do it. And you can, and I really like what Brad Underwood's assembled here and his staff.
Ed, any of your thoughts there?
Yeah, the one thing for me, you know, right away compared to last year was the camaraderie. They really, really get along. I don't know if people really understand how important there is. Not that it was horrible last year, but, you know, there were some issues and things. I mean, you know, that wasn't a secret, you know. The coaches talked about some of that in post games in the end of the season. Some of the players went public with it this year, one being sophomore guard Ty Rogers. I think the difference, like I said to you, I think they're more complete. You know, no, they don't have that dynamic true facilitator scoring point guard, but I can assure you this, Drayvon Gibbs-Lawhorn is going to score some points. That kid is hunting buckets. He's looking for them, and he knocked down a deep three, you know, that we saw. He's able to get to the rim. He's going to be a highlight reel. I think people are going to be really surprised. What I like, because we all know that RJ Melendez was that guy that could, you know, make you jump out of your seat. This year, I can honestly tell you that's going to be Drayvon Gibbs-Lawhorn, and that 6'1", 6'2", stretching it. It's going to look really good. But overall, I do think they're going to be a better shooting team. And Coach Underwood joked yesterday, you know, you can't get any worse compared to last year. And he's right. But we can all sit and say that, you know, Brad and I saw it yesterday. And we can say, you know, until the cows come home, you know, when the light cuts on, you got to be able to make shots. And the guy I was looking for and nobody talks a lot about too was Harmon. I mean, he knocked down a couple threes, but Quincy, if he can knock down a couple threes a game and Harmon can knock down a couple threes, and you know you're going to get up from Terrence, and if Coleman's consistent, you know, or somewhere around the 34 range, they're going to be okay because they guard. And, you know, Brad talked about, you know, paying attention to detail. One of the things that yesterday Coach Frazier mentioned yesterday, you know, it's more to it than just, you know, the ball goes in the basket and you commit a foul. You know, one of the things they did on a secondary break yesterday, they were talking to Draymond about making sure the ball gets caught in the correct hand, you know, and not the wrong hand. And so little things like that people need to pay attention to, because you throw the ball to the wrong hand on your secondary break, it's easy for it to be intercepted. That's just me being a nut in the game of basketball. But I will tell you this, too, to end the comment. I saw a much calmer Brad Underwood yesterday. He was totally different. I think he really is confident in his team. I think he's comfortable with them. They're old. You know, it's an older team. You got two freshmen, you know, that, you know, I know they're going to play, but when you got a bunch of veteran guys out there and that aren't making a lot of mistakes, it's easy to coach a group like that. And again, you know, Marcus Domas wasn't there and he's vocal. That's another vocal leader you're going to have on the court that wasn't there, you know, playing.
So, the question I have is, you know, I did hear a few people who were let down by Coleman Hawkins yesterday, and I get a little mystified by that because, you know, that's focused on like one thing, but then they don't talk about how, well, the guy had, you know, 4 assists and he had 7 rebounds and he helped in the lane and, you know, prevented gosh, multiple easy shots on rotations because he's there helping. You know, he guarded, you know, you can pick a guy that he had to defend, you know, and so there's so many little things that he does. Is this another case of people just focusing like, oh, he didn't shoot well today, so we're going to get upset? Or how would you assess that, Brad?
Well, I mean, it's fan is short for fanatic. That's what you're going to see, yeah. Right? I mean, they get upset with that stuff. I think that at the end of the day, the big key, well, it's going to help them. They're going to help win games, you know, and I think that's where Coleman Hawkins comes in. I tell you, I want to go back to what Ked said about Draven Gibbs Lahore. He's special. And you know what? I was talking to the coaches after practice. That was his worst practice of the 9 or 10 practices they've had. That was his worst practice. So what's that tell you? I mean, we're talking about how impressive he was, and that was his worst practice. And so that tells me he's got a chance to be really good. I think, and so that's what I like about this. I think sometimes people get caught up in, like, you know, all that kind of stuff. Like, it's has to be, you know, he's going to be a highlight reel guy. Coleman isn't a highlight reel guy. There's guys who aren't. Damascus isn't a highlight reel guy. They're just solid basketball players. They have more basketball players that understand and know how to play. Even Justin Harmon and Sincere Harris, both are good basketball players. And they're guys who can have a role on this team, whether it being as defenders, as Harmon can knock down open shots. And you're seeing him with the ball less, so he doesn't turn the ball over, which is his big faux pas that really hurt him in all of his play, because he's better off the ball. And that's why you're seeing Draven Gibbs Lahore, Ty Rogers running the point.
Well, you know, my thing with Coleman, I think the fans love him or hate him. I mean, he's great. To have a great game, then have a bad game, I think he's frustrating to a lot of people. And I don't feel that way. I just, you know, when he's great, you see the talent. I remember the dunk at Nebraska, the dunk at Indiana. Then he gets a technical foul, and then that drives fans crazy. You know, the Illinois fans are passionate about their basketball program, and I get it. But it's easy to bag on a guy. You know, this is his fourth year in the program, and, you know, if he goes 2 for 12, you know, he's awful. But then they don't understand the fact that he's getting 9 rebounds or the key block. I believe it was in the Big Ten tournament, NCAA tournament 2 years ago, he had a big block, and they got the win. I mean, those things matter. And I think the feedback he got from the NBA, yes, they want to see him knock down the 3-ball more to be more consistent. And it was the same Coleman we saw last year. But that's not a bad thing. Nobody's saying that that's bad. And I was sitting here, you know, talking to a couple people. It's tough because he has a beautiful shot. I mean, there's – other than the fact last year he was kind of, you know, double pump faking and all that, he eliminated that. And I think this year he'll knock down more shots. If they could get – Ty Rogers is going to find him. A lot of people are kind of hesitant on him, but, you know, if you look at our, you know, our YouTube page, online guys and stuff, I mean, Ty's confident. He's confident that the players believe in him and he can get the ball to people and they can score. And Coleman, you know, just in walking, he made that comment. He said, hey, KP, you know, we're going to be fine. He said they were going to surprise people. And I knew that they didn't show everything yesterday. What yesterday was a chance for us to see them and to promote the program. And I think all the media guys there did a good job of doing that. But to answer your question, you know, Coleman is Coleman. And the one thing I was looking for yesterday, I think I only saw it once, where there was something he didn't agree with. I didn't see what I saw last year. He moved on from it. And I think that's a big part for him, because I know that was talked about by a lot of GMs.
Yeah, and I know in, you know, years past, if I was coaching a kid who had a temper, I would call all sorts of bad crap on him during practice to see if I could get him to break, because I figured in a game it was going to happen. So you might as well practice that as well as the actual basketball being played. How you know, I guess the question that I'm hearing most from people is when you use Ty Rogers as a lead guard, how do you, you know, how overall would you describe his performance? And then the other part is, you know, he's not going to be in the game 40 minutes. Who else will be handling the ball again, you know, as they bring the ball up and engage the offense?
Well, I think you saw that. I mean, I think Ty Rogers is fine. I think he does a fine job. His ball handling is fine. I have one concern with Ty Rogers. Everybody worries about this and that and the other. And, oh, he can't shoot the three, whatever. I don't care about that. None of that matters. There's lots of point guards who don't shoot threes. Here's the thing. Got to make free throws at the end of games when you get fouled. Because he's great at getting to the basket and drawing contact and getting fouled. Got to do this. What we saw from Ty Rogers, see, and Brad Underwood broke this down in my press conference on YouTube right now, and on the Illini Guys, you can find the same thing. But the press conference where he talked about this, Illinois defends ball screens differently than almost every other team in the country. Ty Rogers is going to see different ball screen coverages than what he sees. When you defend Illinois, they make that guy a scorer. They make that guy a scorer. They make that they don't give up easy. They're not going to give up a tag and a wide open three, one pass, two pass, whatever. Other teams are going to tag that roll man. And so, which means they're going to help that roll man. And then there's going to be a kick and the ball's going to get singing and they're going to get an open three. And that's the way it kind of rolls. Well, Ty Rogers is going to have to make those decisions. We haven't seen that yet, but I think he'll actually be better in that role because he won't be asked to score. People say, well, they'll go under the ball screen. Well, then you screen and rescreen the action and you create lanes. I mean, it's not as simple as it. I think a lot of us like watch, you know, junior high and high school, we could do this. We just go under the ball screen. Well, that sounds great until they screen and rescreen the action and change sides. There's no help. And it just makes it harder. Right. And so that's what they're trying to do. And then you get deep and now he's at 15 feet and he can make that shot. So I think he's going to be fine. But he has to make free throws, and we have to see what he does when he's got to make decisions out of those ball screen situations and tags and things. But I think you saw that they're molding Draven Gibbs Lahorn to be a point guard down the road. I mean, you can see they're making him. They feel like he can do that. Nico Moretti will see some time at point guard if they need a third point guard. You also have seen them. I think that even Justin Harmon, although it's not his thing, they've run him at some point, and they've run Sincere at points up. So they have a lot of options, but I think Ty and Draven Gibbs Lahorn are going to be the two main guys, and then Moretti's going to come in. One thing about Moretti is, man, in ball screens, you saw this the other day, in ball screens, he's fantastic. This dude, I mean, just put him in a ball screen, let him roll, hit the roll, man, he'll score. He's really good at reading those actions.
Well, the thing with Ty's not going to hurt them. Brad's right. I mean, there's a lot of teams out there that don't have point guards that can shoot it and you know, knock down threes. But if they do shoot them, they're not great at it. But having said that, what I was impressed with yesterday, he is very crafty and effective at getting to the basket. He knows how to get to the rim. And you're right, he has to make free throws, not at the end of the game, just during the game, because you don't want to leave points on the board. To me, I was always a big, you know, when I coached, I was always harping all my kids and, you know, I coach. When you go 0 for 2 and you get fouled, that's a turnover. So to me, it's a wasted opportunity. He held the ball well. I think he's going to be a great facilitator. He has an advantage because he's tall and strong and he's athletic and he's quick. So I think he'll be able to shoot over small defenders. I don't think that's going to be an issue for him. Like a lot of people think it will. And the other thing is, yesterday, what I really, really noticed when I talked to him as well, he's not really worried about that, you know, when the time comes. And the one thing he did say is that he has put a lot of time in, you know, shooting free throws. But he also mentioned that his team is good enough. He has enough weapons around him to where they can make people pay for going on the ball screens with him because, you know, he's not going to look to shoot the ball. And that's not a bad thing. It sure be great to have, you know, a point guard that's, you know, averaging 18, 19 a game. That's what Illinois is accustomed to. But now you have the wing in Terrence Shannon Jr. who demands an awful lot of shots at that position. And there'll be times where he brings the ball up the court. Now, Mike, you mentioned lead guard, point guard. I've said this before, and today's game is different. You know, back in the 80s when, you know, Tom Davis was at Iowa, when they pressed the entire game, you had to have a point guard. Now the athletes are so much bigger and stronger. Like Coleman Hawkins played point guard, he's 6'10", or he was a lead guard. He brought the ball up to court. If you can get the ball up to court, if you have good offensive sets, I think if you're well coached, you're going to be fine. Late game situation, that's where it's going to be really huge for Ty to learn. Non-conference is going to be huge. I'd rather see that kid go out there and struggle and figure it out because he did that last year. We all thought, man, this kid was supposed to be this great player. And then all of a sudden, things start to click and turn in. He found his niche. That's what needs to happen to him. He's a great, great kid. I tweeted that yesterday, and he is willing to learn. He is a kid that I'm really pulling for because he's there for the right reasons, and he is going to succeed at that position this year. I know that. I'm positive.
So yeah, I agree, kid. The one thing I'll add to that is that when you kind of look at how they play, this team is going to pass the ball much, much better than last year's team. It's not going to be a bunch of isolation stuff. I'm not saying they'll never run ISOs. There'll be more ISO post-up where they'll post up underside guys or find mismatches. It's not going to be like throw it to Matthew Meyer in the wing and let him create a 28-footer or whatever he can, or throw it to Terrence Shannon on the wing. So it's going to be different offense because they have guys, and they're teaching. That's one of the things they're learning. They have veteran guys who know how to play without the ball. We saw – I'll tell you what. I saw more, and this is where people forget. I saw more high post or basket cuts off a high post pass, entry pass, than I saw last season in 1 hour of practice the other day, because there was actual movement off the ball. There, it's handoffs, it's cuts, and you can see this reading the action. Here's what we're looking for, reading this, whatever. It's a work in progress, but it's going to be much better once it's done.
It's because of older guys. That's exactly why. Exactly. We just mentioned that. Guys that, I mean, I've seen, that's the calmest I've ever seen Coach Underwood, because they know and they get it. And even when he had to direct, it wasn't, you know, like I'm having to teach it. You guys remember a couple of years ago, he talked about having a system put in place. I want to have a system put in place where guys just come in, the young, older guys can teach the younger guys, and things, you know, it'll just keep rolling. And I think he's to that point. Now it's going to be tough because they have a lot of older guys, you know, to replace that next year. But I really think just looking at it from this year, last year, if they can stay injury-free, that is huge. Say injury-free, I think they need to, you know, win some non-conference games. You know, Missouri's won. I think that'll relieve a lot of pressure from a lot of people from being frustrated and being upset and thinking, okay, this team's a failure, because it's not. I do think the talent's there. But the game's not won on paper, and I truly get that, and I understand that. But I want to see a full roster. It would have been nice to see Marcus Domask yesterday. And to be honest with you, a guy we haven't talked a lot about is Luke Goody. I mean, you know, what if you look on Twitter, he told me he wants to lead the conference in threes. And from my understanding, from talking to the coaches yesterday, he's been great in practice and knocking down shots. So, you know, I was impressed. Other people, you know, and it's not me having orange, you know, Kool-Aid, you know, in my blood. If it was negative, I would have said, hey, you know what? I'm concerned. I have some issues, you know. And one guy we haven't even talked about was Dane Danger. You know, here's a guy that's probably going to be starting, who was effective. And, I mean, if you want to talk about somebody who was quiet, I thought he was quiet yesterday. But that's not going to be the case all year. I mean, he was a guy that just – didn't look to shoot a lot, and he facilitated, passed the ball. Definitely looks a lot thinner, and he moved quicker on defense. I did pay attention to that because I was told that, and I got to see that firsthand yesterday. So that's another weapon that's 10 and 6 or 7 that we haven't even mentioned.
Yeah, Brad, I was going to ask you, you know, what was it like if you, you know, drove right into the danger zone?
Well, if you take the highway to the danger zone, No, but I thought Dane looked pretty good. I mean, he wasn't, you know, there are some things that, you know, he's got to work on just like everybody else, but I thought he looked good. And the one thing I like about Dane is that Ked mentioned it. He's much more mobile than he was a year ago. He's thinner. He's more, you know, more able to move his feet, and that makes him better. It's going to make him better defensively. It also allows him, the one thing I noticed, he's also better. What we didn't see from him, and this is something they've been really working on, we didn't see him playing with the ball. You know what I mean? Like, remember a year ago, he'd get the ball in the high post and it'd be like, I might do a spin dribble, you know, fade away, left-handed hook through my legs, something, degree of difficulty shot. You know, just shake and bake, right? Or something like that. Now it's a rip and a go. It's rip and go. Use it. I may spin back and get to the middle, but I'm gonna just make my move and go it. And that's what I see from him. He's like, he's decisive in his movements. And that's huge when you're talking about a post player in college basketball. Be decisive in your moves. Go get it. And because you can play with it and bad things happen.
Well, I'm kind of curious to see, you know, this whole thing was put together for them to go to Spain to see what it, you know, what the finished product is. I know A lot of people ask me, and I put on Twitter, I mean, a few years ago, 4 years ago when they went over there, they were putting on YouTube, this time we're not getting that. We're not going to get that. One of the Illinois people told me yesterday that they will keep stats for Illinois players and the best they can, and they'll go percentage and free throws and a running score, and then you get a score in the end. But it would, and you know, and there could be a possibility, depending upon their, you know, their destination, maybe somebody will pick it up. But I know the university is not taking their media guys over there to cover it, and that's tough for a lineup, Anthony, because I know they're really, really passionate about the basketball. And I was kind of hoping somebody did, and but that's not the case. And something else I'm kind of, I wish we could see is because the assistant coaches are going to be the guys who are leading it, and the, you know, Coach Underwood is going to be sitting there kind of watching. So I would love to see Jeff and Chester and Tim in action. They were really vocal in practice, so I was kind of loving that yesterday as well, just to be able to say, hey, you know what, seeing what they're teaching. And Brad didn't have to do a lot. I mean, and that, you know, it's a tribute to an older team, and like we mentioned.
So the other question I had, I guess, is we haven't talked a lot about Terrence Shannon Jr. It was pretty amazing. You think about it, an All-American, and we really haven't spent much time on him. Obviously devastating on the drives, particularly with his left hand. He's talked to the NBA and got feedback. How does he look after practicing and getting that feedback and trying to take that into consideration in developing his game this summer?
I think he looks great. I mean, mid-range was fantastic. He's still crazy athletic. You know, they talked about him working on his right hand. We didn't see a lot of that because, again, it wasn't – you're not running – it's a practice where you're not running plays to, like, get people in the right actions. They're just running actions and just playing and getting up and down. So we didn't maybe watch that as much, but he's still Terrence Shannon. He's the best player on the floor. He's going to be the best player on the floor in probably, I don't know, 80% of the games they play, because that's just reality. Maybe 90, I don't know. I was trying to be conservative. But and so that gives you – so you have a chance. His big thing that he talked about when I talked to him was he wants to be more consistent. And consistently in, like, kind of an attack mode on offense where he doesn't wait until, like, the game's – you saw him – look at the Arkansas game, the NCAA tournament. He was passive early, and then he kept getting the line late in the game. It's like he needed to be that guy early in that game. And sometimes I think he tries to defer a little bit, and that's kind of his personality, to let people go. I don't think he wants to do that anymore. In fact, so he kind of took over one of – they had these little four-minute scrimmages, right? They actually took him out and wouldn't let him play in one of the scrimmages because he took it over. He's hitting mid-range. He's getting out. He got a steal. He would have had a dunk. They blew the whistle. All these things happened. And they took him out because, like, yeah, you're kicking everybody's butt, so we got to take you out. It was like, you know, now I used to do that when I coached. I'd put him on the other team and then make him come back when they're down. Like, you know, they hate me. They always hated me for that. But that was always fun. But, yeah, so this is what – it was my daughter a lot of times. So, hey, you know, it's okay, right? So – but no, this is what they did. And so they took him out because he's that good. I think that maybe we undersell how good he is and how big it is to have a guy like him coming back.
Well, I want to add to this. That's funny you said that. So, Brad, I don't know if you heard the tail end of that. Cool story. So yesterday, Brad, coach, was like, Terrence, you're out. And politely, he looks over, coach, am I in trouble? Did I do something wrong? And Coach Underwood looked at Adam Fletcher, and I have to be careful what I say here because I'm sure this is PG, but basically Brad Underwood was saying, no, kid, you doing what you're supposed to be doing and some, because he looked really, really good yesterday. And he made it easy. He is the best player on the floor, and he is a lot bigger, I mean muscular in person, than he is in TV. You know, I had the interview. I was lucky enough to get him by myself to do a one-on-one with him really quick on my YouTube page. And he talked about the NBA and what he's looking forward to working on in that mid-range game. He basically, the bottom line is that was a big part of his game. But Terrence is nice. He's a nice kid. And sometimes I don't know if he understands how good he can be. And I really wish the fans would, you know, I kind of tweeted this yesterday. All the kids are great, but when you have a chance to see Ty Rogers, I walked up to him yesterday. And the first thing he said to me, you know, because I saw him up in Riverside, we had a little running joke and he joked to me. And then I saw Terrence Shannon and, you know, the thing he mentioned to me right away was, man, I like what you guys do with a lot of that guys. And then I saw Luke Goody and I gave him a hard time about that tiny bass that he caught, you know, on social media because we're supposed to have that fishing tournament. So they're really cool kids and people forget they're kids, but they're just gifted. They've been given a gift from God to be good at basketball. Sometimes people forget that. So I really hope Terrence, you know, gets a shot at the NBA. He deserves it. Kid could have went anywhere. He was a number one or two top prospect coming out in the transfer portal last year. So he's happy to be in the lineup. He kind of talked about that. But I really – him being consistent is good. And I think his right hand is overrated. I know he needs to go right, but it's not like he never did it. I think because he's so dominant left-handed and he's good at it, people think, well, I want to see him go right. Well, he has done that, and he can do that. But if you're going to give it to him, why not utilize that? Because he's strong enough and big enough to get to the rim. But you're never going to see another UCLA performance. Well, I should never say never because, you know, I'll look stupid if he does that again against Tennessee or somebody. But having said that, I just think he does needs to be more consistent, and I think he needs to show up his ball handling abilities. I think they talked about that at the NBA level as well, because I know last year he got loose with the ball a little bit, and I think in some of his combine workouts he wasn't tight with his handles.
The final question, I guess, or the final subject that I wanted to at least get a little bit is we've heard some rumblings, you know, that there's a big time basketball visit on September 16th. Brad, you know, I've seen Mikey Lewis play a couple times at EYBL in Dallas and Memphis. Why don't you give us your thoughts on the 6'3 guard who's, boy, he's a quick and fast athlete out there on the court.
Yeah, he's a dynamic scorer. He's got a little bit of Draven Gibbs LaHorn type athleticism. I don't know if he's quite as bouncy as Draven Gibbs LaHorn, but he's got that speed and just quickness and athleticism. He shoots it well, can shoot it off the bounce. I mean, he's a special talent. And I think he's got better size than a lot of people maybe thought. You know, at 6'3", I think you can have him play like a combo. And so you can play him with a guy who's a little smaller and still be okay because he is so quick and athletic. Yeah, I really like him. I think the other guy that they're going to get on campus this fall is Jaden Glover, you know, the 6'6" shooter from out east. So he's going to be on campus. I'm telling you right now, I'm going to give you a name that I think is fantastic, that is a kid that they have been kind of pursuing. They made the final six for Jace Butler from out east, out west. Point guard, 6 foot. I'm telling you, I get like Jalen Brunson vibes when I watch this kid play. That was my comparison. I think that's what the Illinois staff sees. I mean, he's not left-handed, you know, so a lot of people haven't seen him as much and he's not as hyped. That's another kid that if Illinois goes after him, I think they have a great shot at him. I think he's really good. Could be a really good player.
Mikey Lewis would be a dream. I mean, this kid, he gets buckets. And he's smooth and he's good at it. I mean, the way he can dribble drive off a screen and get shoulder to shoulder to keep the defender away, he's impressive. And he's even more impressive to talk to. And the thing is with him, he's already visited St. Mary's. So a lot of people who don't know that he's visited St. Mary's, the plan is to make sure he visited all of his six schools. And I know Illinois is going to be on September 16th. He's supposed to go to LSU the very next weekend on the 24th. I know Illinois would love to lock that up. When Illinois wants to get a kid, when they want to get a player, all the coaches are involved. And I can tell you right now, they're all involved. This kid had a great EYBL season. The problem with him, I don't want to say play on the wrong team because I don't want to bash teams, but you got to be on one of those big teams for people to really give you that national attention. Because right now, a lot of people have him ranked in the top 75, top 80, way too low. I mean, that kid is going to be a player when he gets to college. And Illinois' competitor, I think, in the long run, Illinois is going to have to sell them on their winning tradition. They're going to have to show him what they've done and the banners and the Big Ten championships. Because the thing that I heard today, and I will have a story on him on the line, guys. The thing I heard today is that it might be a two-team race between Illinois and Kansas, because Kansas has always talked about that winning tradition and getting to the tournament and doing well in the tournament. But his relationship with Coach Chester Frazier is great. They've been out to see him, and they've been to every game. And so I think Illinois put themselves in a good position. But I would never count out the other schools as well. But I just think it's going to be a two-tier race before it's all said and done. And I don't think a Kansas visit has been set up yet, but I know it's going to be in the works.
Yeah, Kansas hasn't even offered yet, kid. They're kind of slow playing him. But when they do offer, obviously they become a major, huge player, right. As you said. The other team to watch is LSU. LSU has done a really good job with him. And, you know, they obviously, you know, they can –
they have a lot of NIL. They have a lot of NIL.
What is that? Yeah, a lot of NIL, yeah. So there you go.
Politically correct. I like that.
They will make strong-ass offers, I've heard. Yes. So anyway, but no, I think, you know, I think it's LSU, Illinois, Kansas. I think those are the three that kind of stand out. I think Kansas is just waiting a little bit. See, I think they have another guy that they have a little higher clip on. But so I think Illinois is really going to push and say, hey, we want you. We want you now. We aren't waiting. We aren't slow playing you. We're going to do this. And they're going to push, say, look, they may be good. We're going to be good. You know, so it's like you said, Ked, it's a sell. And I think they got a great shot at him. And boy, you put him with Merez Johnson. And I love Jason Jackson this long term, but him and Rez Johnson coming in, woo, those are some impact guys. Guys who can come in and make plays.
Right and, away, early.
And I can only imagine how much fun it will be when you have him and Gibbs LaHorn out there at the same time.
Oh my gosh.
The speed at the guard position, I'm not certain at any time in Illinois' history have they had two guys that fast at the same time. And I am not exaggerating. When he goes out on the fast break, but he's gone. I mean, it's like a transport. It's like, yeah, Star Trek. They transport him from the free throw line to the free throw line. You're like, how'd he get there? I mean, so
it's like having D Brown and Io DeSumo on the same team, right?
Yes.
The guys that could just change ends faster than everybody else.
Yes.
Not disparaging Luther Head or Darren Williams, who,
right,
especially Lou, is really athletic. But yeah, I mean, it'd be like having two of those jet guys who could just get from end to end in no time at all.
Yeah. Yeah. Any other tidbits before we wrap up? I know a lot of things have gone on. We're watching college realignment to see if the Pac-12 lasts over the weekend. One never knows.
We were wondering whether they're going to make it to 2025. Now it's whether they'll make it to 2024.
Yeah, whether they make it to the
September
end of August.
September 1. Yeah. Oh, it's crazy. No, I the one thing I would say is I think that I saw a measured Brad Underwood when he talked about this team. I think he's got the right demeanor with this group. I thought that was impressive that he just said. And I saw a measured demeanor with this team. That doesn't mean they're not active, energetic, whatever, but they're professional. I mean, they're old, guys. I don't think we can understate how this team is old. They've been through the wars. They have guys who played. I mean, they have a guy, they may bring off the bench guys with 1,600 points in their college career, or guys who are all ACC may come off the bench. One of those guys is coming off the bench for this team. And I think we can't understate how important that is.
I agree. I mean, it's hard to get a kid to do that. But also, the good thing about it, like I mentioned, every kid's going to hit a wall. And if they're coming off the bench and then when that kid hits the wall, maybe you keep the same lineup, but another kid's, he may, you know, get most of the minutes. What I'm, to answer your question, Mike, to close this, I want to see a healthy Marcus Domask. I want to see him healthy. I don't, you know, there's always something with Illinois where somebody's injured, not playing. I hope, to be honest with you, I don't even care if he plays, you know, this, you know, overseas in Spain. I could care less about it. I want to see him get healthy because I think he's a guy that can really, really help them. He's a different look. All the new guys, they all have intangibles. They all do something different. And I think if you're an opposing coach, that's a tough matchup because you have so many weapons. If you really think about it, there are no liabilities out there. I mean, we can say Ty Rogers doesn't shoot threes, but I guarantee you this, he's going to get his shot opportunities. He will find ways to score. He did it yesterday. You know, he got yesterday on my YouTube page. I'm not trying to promote my YouTube page, but there was a shot yesterday. He went to the rim and got to the rim and made him. He didn't make the shot, but it was a nice, beautiful circus shot that I've never seen him shoot. Didn't go in, and then, you know, Dan Danger tipped it in. So he's going to find ways to score, you know, and people have to match up with him. Because if you put a smaller guard on him, you're in trouble.
Yeah, yeah. I've a little bit of a mystery to me because watching him play in AAU, you know, he would find ways to score, and he didn't score the same way twice. It seemed like, you know, he might, you know, knock down a three. Now maybe the shot was a little flat, but it managed to go in. You know, then he goes to the rim, then he hits a mid range. I mean, I thought he kind of took what the defense gave him, and so I thought last year maybe just he lost a little bit of confidence early on, and it took him a while to get it back. But I think he'll probably show some people that while he may not be, you know, D Brown from the three, he's also not a bad shooter, which is the bucket that a lot of people want to put him in after literally a freshman year, you know. So with that, we really appreciate you gentlemen coming on here and giving Illini fans their first look at the Fighting Illini basketball team for the 23-24 season. We really encourage you to jump on with Illini guys, because there is a lot of coverage that you're going to get. And if you want Illini coverage, particularly, you know, when we look at the basketball team, I don't think there's anybody better than the two guys sitting next to me. And I think if you join Illini guys, you will feel like you're in the locker room and you know what's going on all season long. So with that, this is Mike Kegley saying a big thanks to Illini guy Brad Sturdy and Illini guys director of recruiting Kedrick Prince. We'll be right back in a minute.
Whether you live in Champaign or Chicago, halfway across this great nation or halfway across the planet, IlliniGuys.com keeps you in the know. Whether it's game results or what's going on in recruiting behind the scenes, IlliniGuys.com covers it. Only $99 a year, and you get a free 7-day trial to kick the tires. Go to IlliniGuys.com, click the register button that's right next to the 7-day free trial, and we'd love to have you as a subscriber. IlliniGuys.com.
This is Illini guy Mike Kegley thanking you for listening to Eye on the Illini. We're happy that you had a chance to listen to the first look at the Fighting Illini basketball team for this year. We're excited about our coverage, and we will be back talking about Illini sports here later in the week. And of course, you got the football season rapidly approaching. It looks like it's going to be a great, great time. And, of course, we're also excited as Gabe Yakas will be part of our Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. So you'll be able to have an Illini guy, along with the Illini gal, Adalia McKenzie. We will keep you up to date, even on the perspective from the scholarship athletes. So with that, I want to tell you, go Illini.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.